They were, of course, Tutsis as a majority, but not just Tutsis, because the captain saved anybody, starting from the children of the Prime Minister of Rwanda, who had been killed on the 7th of April, 1994, and she was what is defined as moderate Hutu. And then he also rescued foreigners, including Mac Doyle, who's the author of the BBC documentary A Good Man in Rwanda. So I think this is the first message, you know, that he was not looking at the origin or any other consideration, but he was just saving human lives. And I think that the captain has also demonstrated that actually there is a duty to protect, and this duty to protect has to prevail over other considerations. Because we remember that at that time we had a peacekeeping operation on the ground, 2,700 troops. Unfortunately, when on the 7th of April the Prime Minister of Rwanda was killed, well, this also coincided with the slaughter of his security guard, which was composed by 12 Belgian paratroopers. And as a consequence, the Belgian battalion was withdrawn from Rwanda, and the Security Council made a decision to bring the force down to one-tenth of its original size. And, of course, those were fatal decisions.
It's more than 20 years, though, since the Rwanda genocide happened and Captain Diane was killed in a mortar attack. What have we learned, and how do you want to see peacekeeping evolve in future?
I think that the captain has given a lesson at that moment, because he embodied the real values of the Charter of the United Nations. We should remember that the United Nations' first convention was the Convention on Genocide, and the United Nations themselves were built as a consequence of the mass destruction that was carried out during the World War II. So I believe that what is most important today is that peacekeeping operations and the functioning of the United Nations in general is grounded on the same values of courage and justice that are embodied by Captain Baydiagne. And I think that some good steps were taken in that direction, because the Security Council has created this medal, no, to motivate the UN staff to be courageous and act in favor of peace and invest in peace in that way. Of course, this is not enough. We probably should ensure that we have in the United Nations and in the rest of the world courageous leaders, righteous leaders that can educate also the masses by their courageous example, by their righteous example. And
that was really one of my questions. Captain Diane, he was a just man. He's been called one of the righteous. Do you have an insight into how he came to be so convinced that he was doing the right thing?
Yeah, thank you. I think this is a very relevant question, because there are different aspects of education for peace and different actors in educating individuals and societies for peace, because the first role is played by the family itself.
But the point is, the price that these people have to pay can be awful. Captain Diane lost his life.
Yeah.
25 years or so after his death and after the genocide, have we learned nothing else? Have we got more than a medal to show for what he's done?
Yeah, well, he lost his life exactly because probably he was left alone in doing what he did, because and that's why we need to invest in peace. That's why we need to invest in the education for peace. It would be much less risky to be courageous if more people were courageous. That's why we need to educate people to courage. And courage is built on responsibility. We know that something needs to be done because it needs to be done, because it's the right thing to do at a certain point in time. We have to listen to that voice we have inside of us, because we have a voice that tells us what is right and what is wrong. And this voice needs to be fed all the time and not be suppressed. Otherwise, I think that our actions will follow, because you build peace through your thoughts, through your actions, through your words, as much as you can build war through the same channels.